matters to us. Call Tip today.
Lorna Butler is a life coach and frequently contributes to the programme. I'm delighted to say she's in studio with me today. Lorna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. You're going to talk to us today about something that's very close to my heart, and that's imposter syndrome. Would you explain it to us first of all, Lorna?
Yeah, of course. And I do think it's close to probably a lot of people's hearts.
Yeah.
But I suppose at its most easiest form, imposter syndrome is a feeling of just not being good enough and doubting your own abilities, and I suppose leaning into the fact that someone's going to figure that out and figure out that you're a fraud. And really that's what it is. It's that self-doubt that kind of takes over.
Mm, very debilitating.
Absolutely. If you suffer from imposter syndrome, and most likely, you know, there's statistics there like that 70% or more of us suffer from it. And the more successful you are, the more imposter syndrome you have. And it really comes down to, I suppose, when you experience that success and you're constantly comparing yourself to others and you're looking at other people and they're demonstrating, you know, their successes to you, because often we don't see other people's failures or other people's mistakes. And that's really how imposter syndrome creeps in. It's comparison to other people.
Who would be prone to this? I mean, is there a particular personality type or?
There's not a particular personality type at all. I think everybody suffers from it at some point. And as I said, it's more likely to be more prevalent in successful people because of the achievement status. And the more you achieve, the more likely you are to feature and to feel that imposter syndrome. But I think it's important to recognise that imposter syndrome is a feeling. And so it's something that you can navigate. So you can allow yourself into the spiral story of not being good enough, increasing your own self-doubt. You know, it tends to lead into procrastination, holding yourself back from doing things that you really want to do. Whereas if you can utilize it, that it's a feeling that you're not going to allow yourself to spiral into those stories and utilize it as a growth opportunity. And, you know, when you start to feel that imposter syndrome in a room full of people or, you know, whatever you might be doing, it's about, okay, well, I'm feeling imposter syndrome. So what's actually happening for me here? What am I learning about myself? What am I afraid of? And it's really digging into those types of questions to really uncover and unpack what's actually happening for you, because that in itself lends to gaining more information, more insight. And the more you do that, the more you're able then to manage it when it arises. Because, you know, everyone says, you know, if you're the smartest in the room, you're in the wrong room. But if you're feeling like you're an imposter in the room, utilize that information. Utilize what that feeling is, because feelings are not facts. They are feelings, and you can navigate those feelings through your thoughts and your behaviors.
Of course. I suppose what might be worse, Lorna, is to think that you know it all and you have it all sussed and, you know, there's nothing else to learn. I mean,
well, they don't suffer from imposter syndrome. That's the other side of it.
That's for sure, isn't it? Yeah. Are perfectionists particularly prone to this?
Yes, perfectionists, like striving for that perfectionism and knowing that perfectionism doesn't actually exist. And, you know, what rides beside perfectionism is shame. So, like, if you're not doing things perfect or presenting yourself in a perfect way, or, you know, leaning into your work in a way that will be deemed perfect by other people, then you're shaming yourself when you don't achieve that. And then that in itself has a knock-on internal impact, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. My colleague Ali and I have a very similar thoughts on this. And we were chatting about it earlier on, in fact. I mean, I find if I make one grammatical error in a show, I keep concentrating on that as opposed to the whole show and or the whole story or the whole interview or whatever. I mean, that's madness, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
Absolutely madness, yeah. And so that's where it comes down to, really, how is the perfectionism driving your behaviour and like moving from more of a self-judgment space, we're over that one mistake, into a self-kindness, self-compassionate space, and looking at everything else that went well. We have a tendency as humans anyway to look at everything that's not working or everything that we do wrong rather than focus on what we're doing right, you know?
Yeah.
And that's normal, like that's typical. And when you start to kind of work with a coach or do this type of work, you start to be able to I suppose, gain the insight to reframe thoughts and reframe your thinking and understand your feelings and navigate them in a more constructive way that allows you to lean into them rather than use them as a tool to beat yourself up.
Right. So if somebody came in to you and, they have all the symptoms of imposter syndrome and all of that, stage one for your advice to them would be what?
There's lots of different things. And I suppose as an individual, we're constantly looking for quick wins and how do I deal with this and let me just get over this quickly and what can I do? And yeah, absolutely, there's techniques like, you know, writing your thoughts down, understanding what your thoughts are, where they're coming from, reframing them to, like, say, for example, you could take a thought, it's just luck that I'm here, which is one of the imposter syndrome thoughts, it's just lucky that I am here, rather than I'm grateful to be here and I deserve to be here and I've done enough to be here. So it's about reframing
and
that.
And you repeat stuff like that as a mantra almost. You can
develop little mantras, but it's really about when you're working with myself, we explore kind of what's actually happening for you internally when you're experiencing imposter syndrome. So really about, you know, there's a lot of surface level work, but obviously, you know, the main fundamental changes will come from really digging into it and understanding where it's actually coming from and how you can navigate through that in the circumstances that it's showing up. Because sometimes it'll show up in certain instances and other times it won't. And so it's really understanding what's actually happening for you when you're dealing with it.
That's interesting. Have you often thought about why we can be our own worst enemy? Why there's this little evil so-and-so on the back of our heads that's constantly critiquing and giving out to us?
Yeah.
Why are we our own worst enemy?
Well, we were born that way. So there is a lot around...
Were we, or did we learn that along the way somewhere?
It's both. So primarily we have negativity bias and we needed that in order to kind of, you know, fundamentally keep ourselves alive back in the day. And so that inner voice or that inner critic lends itself to kind of keeping you safe.
And it protects you.
So it is a protective mechanism, although not very helpful or useful in situations where you might use it as a tool to beat yourself up. But when you're working with someone like myself, you really start to unpack that inner voice and you start to look at the inner coach, because everybody, you know, we tend to focus on the inner critic, but you do have somebody, another voice that's the inner coach that can counteract some of the inner critic's kind of harshness.
But it can be sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think of your kind of cognitive makeup, you have thoughts, you have feelings, and then they equal your behavior. And so when you start to look at how to manage your feelings differently, or you look at how to manage your thinking differently, and these are learned skills, like these can absolutely be learned by everybody, you start to influence your behavior in a more positive way. And it's more about giving you back control, and that you get to choose how you respond. Like, I've had imposter syndrome, you know what I mean? I suffer from it all the time. And again, I suppose my biggest learning when I was dealing with it myself is that it doesn't go away. Mm. Like, you're never going to be like, oh, see you now.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Sure.
But it is about developing a response to it and knowing that it will exist, but choosing how I engage with it is where I can control it, or I can have the power over it.
That's very interesting indeed. You're available if people want to make contact with you where coaching is concerned, Lorna?
Absolutely, yeah. So my website is pdccoaching.com, and you'll catch me on social media at pdccoaching.com on Instagram and Facebook.
All right. You'll be flooded by people with imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
I would imagine. Good to see you, Lorna. Thanks
so
for coming into us today. We'll take a break. News and information's on the way.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over